Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. Hey everyone, I'm Grace Hayden and welcome to Game On with Grace. Today's episode, we have a Caribbean star, Andre Fletcher. He's been all around the globe playing T20 cricket, also played for the West Indies, known for his cooking. The Spice Man is coming on Game On with Grace. Don't go anywhere because we're chatting to him now. Game on. Andre, welcome to Game On with Grace. I'm so pumped to have you on today. Thank you so much for joining. What time is it over there? Are you back home?
Yes, I am. Actually, it's 25 past 7.
Oh, that's wow.
PM.
And where are you based over in the Caribbean?
In Grenada. Spice
nice.
Of the Caribbean.
Spice of the Caribbean. I like it. Now, you've just wrapped up CPL. How is this season for you? Did you enjoy it?
I must say, yes, I did. But unfortunately, we didn't qualify. But comparing this year to last year, I must say that we had a great improvement. Even though we would have loved to be in the top four. But that cricket at times, we had some positives. You know, after winning one game last year and this year we won four.
Oh,
you know,
great.
We must say that it has been a great improvement.
Yeah, improvement's everything, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, you've been part of the CPL for how many years now?
From inception. So I think CPL is now 13 years. So
crazy.
Yeah, it has been.
So you've seen it really grow and flourish to the position that it's in now. You must be pretty proud.
Yeah, for sure. As we always say, it's the biggest party in sport. You know, I've always enjoyed CPL, always looking forward for CPL. And, you know, it's a tournament where you can go and express yourself. I was fortunate to play in plenty different leagues. And, you know, CPL is just a different atmosphere. The Caribbean is a place everyone, I believe, would love to be. The good thing about it, it's actually around Carnival season.
Yes.
So. Yeah, so actually it's a case where it's not only entertainment on the field, but also entertainment off the field as well. So
absolutely,
it's a fun time.
If you were to describe it to someone who doesn't really watch cricket or maybe watches a couple of games here and there, how would you describe the vibe, the atmosphere, the tournament of CPL?
It's pure vibes. Even if someone doesn't know much about cricket, but actually going there for the first time, being in the game for the first time, and the atmosphere, it's a party vibes. So even though they don't understand the rules of the game, but, you know, just the atmosphere by maybe partying, drinking rum.
Yeah,
sorry
totally.
To say, but
No. That rum punch is deadly. It's so good.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's not about only, you know, the game itself, but outside the game, you know, players and spectators can enjoy themselves. And after every single game, there is a party. It's lovely. The CPL is, I would encourage anyone to be a part of, you know, as a spectator, as a player, you know, inviting families over in the Caribbean. You can't ask for any place better.
What would be your favorite ground to play at during, you know, Caribbean Premier League?
Well, there's a give and take.
Okay.
The reason for that being said, I would say St. Lucia is my favorite because I've been playing for St. Lucia Zooks from the get-go.
Yes.
So I played for St. Lucia for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then St. Kitts is my second team in CPL. But unfortunately, even though St. Lucia has been my favorite ground, St. Kitts, knowing that it's very small and the wicket is, you know, batsman friendly, but on the flip side, it's a ground where I don't like much because of my team. We haven't won much games there because
we
consider St. Kitts as the bowling. You know, the boundary is small, wicket is good, and just unfortunate that our team hasn't been, you know, victorious on that end. But for myself, my personal goal, I would say St. Lucia has been my favorite ground.
Oh, I love it. And St. Lucia is a beautiful place. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
the scenery is just stunning. All right. Well, I want to get into our first I guess, category of the episode today. It's called Human Behind the Hype. It's where everyone at home gets to know you a little bit better behind your stats, behind your accolades. We know you're a great player, but we want to know a little bit more about you. You told me off air before that you've just been fishing with a friend. Is fishing a bit of a passion for you?
Yeah, it's one of my hobby. I love fishing. I don't catch big fishes, but okay. it's something where I do a lot just to keep my mind free, you know, just connect to nature. So it's something I love doing. But apart from cricket, cooking is my favorite. I love the kitchen.
Now tell me your favorite thing to cook. Because I love food and I love to cook too.
I honestly don't have a favorite dish.
Okay.
But once being given the opportunity to cook any dish, I believe I'm good enough to do so. My dad, unfortunately, well, sadly, he passed away a few weeks ago. But
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But he's the one that actually taught us to cook. All my siblings can cook.
Oh, I must say.
Yeah, my dad was a chef, so we actually...
So you're never short of good food in your household?
No, never at all.
Oh, wow. Oh, but that's such special memories that you've, you know, had growing up with your whole family to be able to cook together. Yeah. We're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere. Tell me how your journey in cricket started. Where did you fall in love with the game and how did you get into it first?
I must say I'm a bit, should I say, blessed because my two elder brothers, they are very good cricketers.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was a very good cricketer as well. So it's kind of, I kind of buy into it. I actually fell in love with cricket when I was like 9, 10.
Yeah.
You know, being under the coach of Raymond Duncan, who was my childhood coach, he, I would say, kind of, you know, paved the way for me into cricket. It wasn't a game that I really took serious back then.
Mm.
But when I got into under 19, he was the one that decided, you know what, it's time for me to take the game serious. I have a bright future ahead of me. And that's where I actually, you know, take it with both hands.
Was it nice having a support network around you that had sort of been there, done that, loved the game themselves, and whenever you needed to turn to them, you could in terms of the cricket?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, 100%. Support is key. And as I said, my mom, all know she's a very big, big cricket fan. and she was a cricketer as well. So my brothers also, they didn't reach as far as I do, but... you know, they're very, you know, big into cricket as well. So it was just a case for me to, you know, as I would say, adapt a bit, but never got the opportunity to slack out as well. Because even if I do, I have someone to, you know, push me and let me know, hey, you can't give up or anything like that. So support system is very important for every cricketer. Aspiring cricketers.
It sounds like you had a very competitive family growing up. You love to eat, but you're also very competitive by the sounds of things. I mean, your sister's also a record-holding sprinter, so it's quick bloodline you've got there.
Yeah, my sister is actually an Olympian.
Crazy.
She took part, I think, in, was it Beijing Olympics,
mm-hmm.
In the 1 and 200 meters. She, no one has, I don't think anyone broke her a national record as yet. It would be a bit tough to break, but she was very quick. She always, well, she still thinks that she has it in her. You know, she had to end her career. It was an unfortunate decision where she had to end her career. But, you know, I'm grateful to have her around, you know, being that, you know, only sister I have in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her dearly, so.
Oh, that's really nice. Well, you've had one of the ninth longest careers in T20 international cricket. I mean, why do you think you've had such longevity in the game? Is it pure enjoyment, or you're just cut out from it from the get-go? Like, what's the go here? It's pretty amazing accolade.
I must say, because of, well, the love must be there for sure.
Yes, definitely.
And Yeah, because if you don't love it, it doesn't make sense you're playing it. Mm-hmm. And fitness, I must say, I'm very fit. You know, fitness has been one of my key components in my cricket. And, you know, I took it very, very serious. I remember at under 19, one of my Roddy Eswick, I think you might have an idea who he is.
Yes.
He's actually the Barbados Royals bowling coach. And he was my under 19 coach back then. And he always used to ask me what I really do at home, because I would run the beep test. I would run the beep test like in 17, 18, 19, level 19. And then as soon as I finish, I will ask him to do some wicket keeping drills. And he would be like, no, you can't be serious. Something is wrong with you, you know? And, you know, I took my fitness very, very, very serious. And, you know, it's good that now I'm 37 and still playing competitive cricket. I must say I'm fortunate to not have any severe injury. So I hoping, fingers crossed, that I don't speak on myself, but, you know, I'm very grateful for still playing the game that I love.
Absolutely. Quick, touch wood. Oh, give us your fitness routine. What does it look like?
Well, where I'm from, as you know, Grenada, we're very mountainous. So, you know, I have plenty of hills. I climb a lot of hills.
Hill sprinter.
I do a lot of fishing. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, so I do a lot of hills. I also do plenty hunting as well. So I go out and hunt with my brothers, my friends sometimes. So, you know, staying fit is quite easy for me. You know, even if I'm not on the playing field doing any fitness drills or what's not, but I'll be home, you know, doing stuff that would always keep me active and keep me fit.
Yeah, it sounds like it's more like your way of life. You just integrate fitness within whatever you're doing. You sound like a very active, busy person.
Yeah, for sure. Everything I do home, I always think like, you know what, I'm training. I'm in the gym.
Oh, I love that. All right, we're just going to step away for 2 minutes from a word from our sponsors, but we'll be back soon. All right, well, let's move into the next segment we've got coming. It's Sports Roundtable. Now, it's sort of an opportunity to dig a little bit deeper into the cricketing world now. We've found out about you. Now we want to find more about you, but more about the cricketing accolades that you've had. You've been part of CPL, BBL, PSL, but so many more. Have you got a favourite tournament that you've been part of throughout your career?
You're putting me on the spot, right?
I am. Absolutely. That's what I'm here to do, my friend.
Perfect.
All so different. Which is hard, right?
Oh, boy. What should I do? if I say CPL, then maybe some might think I'm being a bit biased.
True. Well, give me the hard outside, answer.
Outside CPL, I would say Sri Lanka.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Sri Lanka is beautiful as well. Talk about beaches.
I love Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
I always compare Sri Lanka to back home as well, because they have beautiful beaches and, you know, the coconut trees, and it's similar to home, and especially where I live. So whenever I go to Sri Lanka, I don't feel like, you know, I really miss home. And, you know, I've done pretty much very good in Sri Lanka as well, you know, playing. So I would say maybe apart from CPL, Sri Lanka is one of my favorites.
I tell you what, the food's good there too.
Yeah, very good.
Have you got a favorite memory in Sri Lanka?
Actually, we went, I think, what was it? We went to look at the elephants.
I love elephants.
Now, trust me, it was scary. I have a video where some of them actually came to the truck.
Okay, but not in a cute way.
It was like, no, trust me, it was scary. Scary. But it was fun at the same time, you know. I never got the opportunity to go and look at tigers as well. I remembered Hasaranga wanted me to go, but just the experience with the elephants, I was like, nope, I'm not going. But
you're stopping with the elephant. No tigers for you.
yeah, it was a bit scary. But I love nature. I love adventure, to be honest.
Yeah, so the adrenaline, you'd had enough there. That's where you were cutting it off.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
How do you cope with traveling? Obviously, you know, T20 cricket and that, you know, franchise circuit is quite taxing in terms of taking you from everywhere around the world. And it's literally 365 days a year now. It's sort of reached that point. And you would have seen the growth really of T20 cricket taking off and becoming the beast that it is. But in terms of travel yourself, how do you navigate it? Do you find it taxing?
Well, funny enough, I don't like traveling. It's strange to say.
Really? How do you do it then? It's
just, especially the turbulences, I hate it.
Yeah, me too.
So most of the time, as soon as I get onto the flight, I'll sleep.
Okay.
I'll sleep majority of the time right through the flight because I will literally scream whenever there is a, you know, a
you
drop.
You sound like me.
Drop.
I'm the worst person to sit next to when there's turbulence. Once I was sitting next to this poor guy and all of a sudden the plane just did some dropping thing. I started holding his hand. I had no idea I was doing it. I started holding his hand. Yeah. This guy had no idea who I was. So we would be hopeless together.
Yeah, trust me. I would make like plenty noise. Sometimes the guys would literally laugh at me. You know, some of them video me as well. But unfortunately, I didn't have a choice. I have to travel. I have to fly. But you know, sometimes I do enjoy it. A place I wouldn't like to go back because of the flying is New Zealand.
It's
terrible. It's very, very bad.
But it's beautiful. New Zealand's such a stunning place. But yeah, fair enough. The flying, if you can get past the flying there, then you're sweet. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard struggle for you to have not liking flying when you've literally got to fly a very long way. I know from Australia, the flight to the West Indies is the worst. Oh, my goodness.
I've been to Big Bash. I would love to maybe get one more opportunity to be there again.
Yeah.
But so I flew from here to New Zealand. No, it was here, America, Dubai, Dubai, New Zealand, and then New Zealand to Australia. And it was, oh my word, it was long.
It's a journey.
Very long.
It's a journey.
It's a very long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Australia, well, I never got the opportunity to explore and, you know, go around Australia because it was during COVID time.
Shame. You should have. But COVID, didn't it just wreck a few things for us? How was that time for you as a cricketer?
It was tough.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was tough. Being inside, you know, literally, you would say every day, once there isn't any cricket, you can't really go, you know, much places. So it was just cricket hotel. You know, so it was really tough, but it helped me mentally because you had to be mentally strong and prepared to play. So it has its ups and downs, but I'm grateful for the opportunity and hopefully before I finish, I can get that
one more time in Oz, down under. I love it.
Definitely.
Take us back to 2016 World Cup final in Kolkata against England. Things were tense at the beginning there. You just scraped through. Carlos Brathwaite went bang in that last over and saved the win for you guys. I want to know first, before we get to that final moment, what was that campaign like to be a part of that team? Obviously, so many stars in the one lineup. That campaign in India, how did you find that World Cup together?
It was tough because it was a case where back then there was a few, how should I put it, bad blood between the players and the West Indies administration.
Sure.
So, you know, some players wanted to strike and then You know, thankfully, Sammy at the time as the captain, you know, very good leader, you know, he decided, you know what, instead of we striking, let us actually come together and, you know, we play for each other in spite of what was going on with the board and the players. You know, we had one goal. And I must also give thanks to even Phil Simmons as the head coach. You know, he tried his best to make sure that every single player was comfortable. And Raul Lewis being there for his first time as manager, it was hectic. Even, you know, after hearing him speak and the things he went through, you know, getting to India, our T-shirt haven't been printed. So he had to actually get a local person to speak in their language and then someone to translate to him, you know, to get the shirts printed for the first game. It was hectic, but we stuck together as a team. We, as I said, we had one goal, and we used to use that phrase, we versus them. Even though the we versus them now is actually West Indies versus the opponent. But back then in the World Cup, we were like, we versus the board. So, you know, and maybe whosoever hearing it now, they may not like it, but it's the truth. And it was just a case where we fought together as a team, and the rest is history. Carlos coming and hitting that 4-6 in the final over. If anyone said that they knew it was going to happen or we were going to win, I would literally say that they're not speaking the truth, because no one was actually expecting something like that. And it's in the history book. I don't think it will repeat itself anytime.
Oh, 100%. Especially when you've got so much going on behind the scenes. No one at home really understands, I guess, the length of what you guys all went through, and keeping that unity when there's so much turmoil around you and you're also in such a high pressure environment. Like, there's no bigger, the World Cup.
And yes, for sure.
To win and it.
And not only that, playing in conditions that is not, you know, suit, it actually didn't suit us, our batting style, because we tend to like a little more bounce and stuff. India is more spinners friendly, I would say. So, you know, winning in India, even in the semifinals, playing against India was also a big game again, you know. And everything, you know, I would say everything actually happened for us to win, because I started the tournament and then I got injured. Lendl Simmons came in, replaced me. His first match was against India, and then he scored, I think, was 70 plus and won the game for us. So, you know, it was written, I would say, you know, for us to actually win that title. And it's something that I will never, ever forget.
Talk us through the celebrations after the win, because we all know the Caribbean and the West Indies love a celebration, love a party. What went down? Obviously, there would have been a celebration in India, but then when you got home too, I want to know it all. Give me the goss. What happened?
Well, I must say, in my country, we had a motorcade. Then our local network, which is Digicel, they organized a big motorcade for me. Well, not only me, but the under-19s, as you know, they won that same year. So we had We had 219 players from Grenada at the time on the team.
Yeah.
And then the women won also.
As well,
so we had Arpi Fletcher, who is from Grenada as well, on the women's team. So they had that huge motorcade around the country, and it was just pure vibes and entertainment.
I love it. Give us the insight on the vibes though. What was the vibe?
Well, loudspeakers, you know, people screaming, dancing. At the time, Bravo just came out with his song. What was the song again? DJ Bravo.
DJ Bravo.
Yeah. Champion.
Champion. Yeah, Champion. So good.
You know, everybody, that song just, you know, went viral. And, you know, everyone was just dancing and drinking and just having fun. Autographs, signing. And, you know, just love, pure love and vibes.
What was it like being part of a team with DJ?
Uh, Trust me, he's a fun guy. He's
so much fun. I know him well. He knows a party. He's so good.
And funny enough, Bravo parties the most, but he doesn't drink.
Doesn't drink alcohol. I know, right?
No alcohol.
But he loves the vibes. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yes, and he knows where the party is at. He knows how to throw a good party too.
For sure. He's a party animal.
You're also part of a side with Chris Gayle, the legend himself. What was it like to open the batting with him, walk out with such an icon of the sport?
Well, Chris, I was fortunate to when I made my debut for West Indies, I actually opened the bat with Chris Gayle. And I was fortunate to play with him. And it was just a relaxed environment because, one, the bowlers, yes, they want to get me out, but their main focus is not really on
you.
Me.
Yeah,
you know, it's on Gayle.
Yeah.
So him being that big threat, you know, and you know, it was just for me to just be myself, you know, play, relax as possible. And, you know, it was just for me to just go out and entertain the crowd. He always say to me, you know, just be you. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter how fast the bowler is, because back then I was very young. You know, I remember that against Australia in England, 2009 World Cup, where I scored, I think it was 50 plus, where we beat Australia. That is where I, you know, my confidence grew. And he was like, you know, he just loved my vibes. You know, he just loved the fact that I was fearless. And, you know, playing with Chris Gayle is just pure entertainment, pure vibes. Being on the other end, looking at
watching
him hitting sixes, and even outside cricket, Gayle is just pure entertainment.
Absolutely. How did you manage, you know, dealing with such high pressure environments when you're so young, debuting in a side that's got so many stars in it, but how did you take on that pressure and absorb it and learn to manage it?
Well, it was a case where they made it a bit easy for me as well, I must say, because, you know, sometimes in some teams, as a newcomer, you might feel like, you know, as they say, you are the junior and there's, you know, you got a few seniors around. And they would maybe make you feel a bit intimidated. But on the flip side, you know, with West Indies, Gayle and Bravo, even Sawan, these guys made it comfortable for me. I never felt like, you know, I was in a team where you know, I'm playing among stars. And anything that I do or if I make any mistake that, you know, they will really come at me. So it wasn't like that. It was just for me to go out there and, you know, show the world what I have. And as they always say, people come to see you. You know, you don't go to see anyone. So do what you have to do. Leave everything out on the field. And whatsoever the result is, don't worry too much about it.
Yeah, you're all your own unique piece to the big puzzle that makes up a team.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-sided unit. It's everyone is in it together. Now, I've been asking guests, Andre, to pitch cricket to a US fan, because we've got a lot of US-based listeners, because Willow TV is our partner. I want to know, how would you pitch cricket to someone who's looking to sort of come into watching it, or they've heard little bits and pieces about it, but your big pitch, why they should watch on the spot?
The thing is, I know baseball is a big thing in America. So I've never been to a baseball game. But it's just the vibes of cricket, the entertainment, the atmosphere, and it's similar to baseball. So I would just encourage them to just come to the game, you know, have a look, enjoy the whatsoever that is around. Don't worry too much about the rules or anything like that. Just go for the fun, the atmosphere, the environment, and then afterwards, maybe you can learn the rules after.
Exactly. Just come for the vibes. Maybe they need to go to a CPL game and experience the vibes, get immersed into the, like, dancing, the party culture, and then they can look into the game.
Well, then if they want to come for a CPL game, for sure, I have to be one of the fans because okay. they would have to be to enjoy.
Okay. All right. So you'll be their tour guide.
Yeah, I would be their tour guide. I wouldn't be the player. So no, I would okay. be one of the spectators.
All right.
Yeah.
And the party manager.
I love to dance. I love to, you know, do my little thing. So for sure they will have pure fun and vibes. Where the rum drinking is concerned, I can't handle that one.
You can't handle rum, neither.
That is too strong for me.
No, so I can't. Me too. I had one of them before I got on a plane and I was asleep.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, for sure. TPL is just a place, a tournament, sorry, that I would encourage anybody in America to come, you know, come to and just have fun, just enjoy themselves. Outside of CPL, you know, they can just go to the beach. The good thing about it, majority of all the countries, all the islands, we have, you know, this you could say same culture, similar culture.
Yeah.
So
totally.
And so it the culture is not much of a big difference apart from maybe the carnival, where there is something we call jab jab, where the people they dirty them skin with old oil.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so they will grease the body with Vaseline first, and then put the old oil over the body.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's plenty fun. I haven't done it, but people look forward for it as well.
I'd love to do a carnival.
Yeah, well, Trinidad has their carnival in February.
Yeah.
Barbados is in July, Grenada is in August, St. Kitts is in, I think, 1st of January or late December.
So they're all different. I didn't know that. I thought it was just one big, like, weekend.
No. St. Lucia is in June. Yeah, so different month, but the atmosphere is still there, even though, Trinidad will have theirs in February and CPL is in August, September. Even when you go over to Trinidad to play in CPL, they bring back that culture, that carnival vibe, mm-hmm. you know? So it's still there, you know, irrespective of how late CPL plays.
So, right, you're saying that any fan should give you a message, send you a DM and be like, can you be my tour guide, Andre?
Yeah, for sure. Make sure they look at the schedule. Make sure that I'm not played, and then
hit him up, come guys. To the country. He's opening the DMs for you.
Yeah, 100%.
I love it. Can you give us the next star to really look for in terms of West Indies talent?
For someone, well, whosoever is looking at the CPL right now, I must say, from the last league that they had, which was the Breakout League, you have August from St. Lucia. He's a talent. He's a very, very good batter. You have even Joel Andrew, who is from Antigua as well. You have Simmons from Barbados. You got BDC, who played for St. Kitts this year, leg spinner and left-hand batter. You also have Karim Gore from Antigua. Mm. So we have plenty talent. You know, and skill-wise, I would say I don't think they are short of skills. It's just for us to, you know, keep them and try to nurture them and, you know, get them into the cricket world as quickly as possible, where they can adapt and know how to cope with pressure. Because trust me, the game alone is pressure, and you don't want to be a player where you actually, you know, carry on extra pressure off the field onto the field. Once we as senior players and as a cricket board can help those, you know, these young players to you know, well mentally, to be mentally strong and you know, separate the outside, you know, noise. Forces from cricket.
For sure.
You know, it's just they can be a great force to be reckoned with, and you can see West Indies cricket actually, you know, going up from there.
Exciting times ahead. It's time for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Andre soon. Okay, we're going to have a bit of fun now. We've spoken about cricket. We've got to know you a little bit more, but are you ready for a little bit of a game?
Yeah, for sure. I'm very competitive when it comes to games.
So am I. Right. Yeah. This is called red light, green light. Red light, you answer
red
and
light,
say...
Red light, green light, one, two, three.
No, not quite. Red light is no, I don't agree. Green light is yes, I agree. So I'm going to give you a statement and you got to answer red light or green light, depending on your answer. But here's the thing, you got to tell me why you answer red light or green light. Are you ready?
Okay. I think so.
Okay. Franchise cricket is more entertaining than World Cup cricket.
Red light is no, right?
Red light's no.
Wow.
Hard.
I would say red light. I would say red light.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because World Cup is one every cricketer will dream of being in a World Cup and playing in a World Cup. Mm-hmm. And it's just that, you know, you're actually representing your country. You know, it's more, I would say you are more glue onto the tournament. You're glued into the tournament more as a player. And then spectators traveling all over the world, you know, visiting just to see you or see their country playing in a World Cup. It's totally different to franchise cricket. As much as, yes, you want to play well, you want to win, you know, franchise tournaments, but winning a World Cup, being in a World Cup,
yeah,
spectators cheering on for you, you know, you representing your country. I don't think franchise cricket could
compare.
Be
spot on answer. The Spice Man's cooking is better than his cricket.
Oh my! Oh my word! Can I invite someone to answer that?
Sure. Give someone a call that would know how to answer it.
Oh, maybe I could ask my son.
Yeah, ask your son. Is he there?
AJ. Yeah, yes, he is.
Grab him. Bring him on.
AJ, my cricket and my cooking, which one is better? My son said my cricket.
Okay, all right.
I guess maybe because cricket is what actually brings food on the table.
True.
Maybe that's why he's saying it's cricket.
So without cricket, there'd be no food.
For sure. Because everything that I have is, you know, I'm thankful because of cricket. But yeah. It's a hard question to answer, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I believe I'm very good in the kitchen.
Mm. Well, it's got to be hard. Otherwise, we've got to ask some, like, hard-hitting questions here.
Yeah, for sure.
Every cricketer secretly wants their own sneaker line.
If I have to answer that only for myself, I would say red light. No. Because I wouldn't want my sneaker line, to be honest.
Nah.
Nah.
I feel like it'd be a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I believe so. A lot of work into it. Even though you might be hiring a few managers or so to take, you know, take the pressure off you. But maybe if it was perfumes, maybe, yeah, I would.
Oh, perfumes. Okay, you're a big scent guy.
I love my perfumes.
What's your favorite scent? What's your go-to?
Dior.
Oh, Oud Isfahan. Sauvage?
No, Oud Isfahan.
Oud Isfahan. Okay, very nice. That's right. Fancy.
You smell it. It's very good.
All right.
I believe it's one of the best.
Wow. I'll give it a sniff next time in the airport.
Yeah, it's really good.
Wicketkeepers are the most underappreciated in a side.
Oh boy. I can't say green because when you look at MS Dhoni,
he's definitely India, appreciated. Everyone, he's gone.
For sure. So But if you're going, oh boy.
Generalized, okay. Like, there's obviously going to be some star factors, but a general blanket statement. Are we redding or are we greening?
Oh boy. Green.
Okay.
I'll say green. I'll say green. Because
why?
When you look at the workload as a wicketkeeper, because I am a wicketkeeper myself, and sometimes people tend to bypass us as wicketkeepers. You know, squatting for 50 overs or 20 overs is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every single ball you have to squat. Whereas as a fielder, you just have to stand and just wait and maybe run to your left or your right. But every single ball as a wicketkeeper, you have to, one, focus on it. Whether it beats the bat or it doesn't, then you have to run towards the stump to collect the ball whenever it goes out to the boundary. So sometimes people tend to, you know, look past it. And especially if you are a wicketkeeper who open bat, trust me, it's very, you know, it's hard on the body at times. So,
for sure.
You know, that's why you have to pay. Well, myself, I pay a lot of respect to players like Adam Gilchrist, who used to, you know, wicketkeep and open the bat, you know, for Australia, you know, to wicketkeep for 50 overs and still then go out. And sometimes you have to bat for 30 to 40 overs as a wicketkeeper. It's a lot. I would say maybe it's agreeable, but I would say wicketkeepers might be the fittest set of players on the cricket field.
Probably no bad call. I mean, there's a lot you got to, one, think about and then do and then back up, especially if you're an opening bat.
Yeah, for sure.
Then add a little bit of pressure in there.
Yes, 100%.
Texting is better than talking on the phone.
Yeah, green.
Really?
Yes, for sure. I rather text. The talking part,
I'm a big phone call girl. I'm like, if you text me, I will not respond. I like get overwhelmed by like the amount of texts that you can sometimes get. And I'm like, well, I'm never replying to them. So call me if it's an emergency.
Yeah, but no, the calling, I don't want to talk too much, you know. And then the text, at least if you're doing something, you can, you know,
multitask.
Maybe delay you know, or you could, you don't have to respond right away with the texting, but with the call, you have to take the call. And then if you're doing something, and then make it work. If it's someone that is miserable, oh my word, it's better to have a go.
So you're not very compassionate, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't say so, but I would go.
Not good with emotions and feelings is what I'm getting from you.
I'm a people person, but
but when they cry, it's like, hell no, get away from me. Deal with your stuff in a corner.
Nah, I wouldn't say so, but I rather text it, not the phone call.
Right, okay. But still, if they send you an emotional text, you're like, well, won't reply to that.
I would reply, but maybe on a later date.
When you're mentally ready to deal with it. All right.
Yeah.
Window seat is better than an aisle seat in a plane.
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I want the view. I want to see when it's landing.
If everything's okay outside. Watch the engine. Yeah, see if it's not on fire. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
For sure. And then you have your phone, you know, take a few photos.
A little video.
And then again, the reason why I want the window seat, because as I said, I would literally sleep majority of the flight. So I don't want to be in the aisle where I have to get up and move and, you know, so window seat is my thing.
See, I'm an aisle because I'm a psycho and I can't sit still. So I need to like get up and down and like walk. Otherwise I feel a little bit cramped in there. And then every time you have to stand up and like get out, it's so annoying. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
Are you claustrophobic then?
No, I'm just a little bit antsy. Like, I'm a little bit probably ADHD, got to, like, move around a lot. Can't sit still.
Oh, okay. I understand. Well, I'm the opposite. I don't want to be, you know, bothered too much, especially
when, right, so you when hate I'm sitting the... next to me even more.
Well, if you're in the aisle and I'm in the window and there's someone in the middle, then no problem.
We be set. We'll be back with the final whistle. Don't go anywhere because we'll be wrapping up the episode next. We're going to move to the final part of the episode. It's called the final whistle. I'm going to shoot some rapid fire questions at you and then we'll wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
How's that sound?
Okay, then.
Great.
No problem.
Who is your favorite teammate to play with?
Johnson Charles.
Okay. Why?
He's my best friend. Best friend. And we grew to, it's a case where, well, from the inception of CPL, we started playing together. We also play for the Windward Island team because he's from St. Lucia, Grenada. So we play for Windward together. So we kind of grow, you know, we have a very strong bond. And we also have one of the, well, they consider us as one of the most dangerous opening pair in CPL. He's someone that I enjoy, you know, batting with.
Dangerous
I love to run.
Duo.
So I love running. So does he. And funny enough, I get a lot of run out playing with him as well. So, but
what?
You know,
So you just love running too much that sometimes you just run each other out.
Yeah, well, most
blow-ups?
Of the time he runs me out.
Yeah. Oh, do you blow up at him?
Yeah.
Are you like, buddy, what the
no,
heck?
No, I don't. Because I enjoy. Funny enough, Sammy used to always say, whenever Johnson gets out, I get out maybe over after. So,
oh,
if
really?
I get out, you know, it's just a case where it hurts so much that whenever I see out, it sometimes affects me. And maybe whenever how it affects him. So, you know, that's how serious and how close we are as friends.
That's so nice to have a friend on the opening pair. Okay, what is a guilty pleasure you refuse to feel guilty about?
You're putting me on this spot, yeah?
Again, hard hitting.
You heard what my daughter said?
No, what'd she say?
Oh, I wonder if I should say it.
Say it.
So,
go.
I don't know. You know what is, you know, drafts, right?
Yeah.
It's like checkers.
Yeah.
Like checkers.
Yeah.
So I would say play checkers. I would literally play checkers from the moment I get up.
Yep.
If I have nothing to do. I will play checkers for the entire day if I get that opportunity.
No
to.
Way. You're obsessed.
Yes.
That is definitely a guilty pleasure.
So I would play online. I would literally call a friend who lives in America. We will play online. And while we're playing online, we also on the phone playing. So we having that banter. And it's a case where my children will always say, Daddy, you know, sometimes it's like you have draft, you know. You put draft before us. It's, you know, sorry to say that. It sounds bad, but
no. I mean, you're a typical athlete, competitive as ever. You've even made checkers a competition.
You know, my dad was a very good checkers player.
Oh wow! So you're carrying on the legacy for him.
Yeah, I love playing, and it helps me to concentrate a lot. You know, it helps me so. That's the reason why I play. Sometimes when I finish playing, I would literally get headache.
Yeah, wow. Because you've just screened it up too long.
Yeah. And I love playing checkers. Honestly, I would literally play checkers If I get the opportunity to choose between checkers and cricket, I will choose checkers.
No way. That's a huge call. Wow.
Honestly, that's how much I love checkers.
So you're very good then.
Yeah. I believe so. I'm good enough.
I love it. Last one. Some advice to a young aspiring cricketer.
For sure, I would say in everything you have to put God first. So that's my main advice. And then you want to be a player that is open for advice, open for constructive criticisms, and be disciplined, be devoted, because you don't want to be a player that just turn up to practice for practicing sake. You want to, sometimes you go to practice, but you want to be that player to do that extra stuff where, you can be just one level above the other player. I have that competitive nature in me. So I would also, encourage a younger player to be competitive among yourself. Yeah, be competitive among peers, among your peer, because it helps also, because then when you meet your opposition and then they, giving that little banter, because it happens not only at the senior level, but, you got banters under 15, under 19. Mm. So when the opportunity arise, that they can literally be in a position where they know how to control and how to, adapt to this situation. So, discipline is key.
Mm.
I use 3 D's, this discipline, devotion, and dignity.
I like that. Discipline, so, dignity.
I would always encourage, the youths to go out there and have that pride and that fighting spirit to wanting to do well and for sure don't forget your prayers.
I love that. Oh, great advice. It's been so nice to chat to you. It's been such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And hopefully maybe one day I'll get back into Australia.
Absolutely. I want to taste some of this cooking of yours. I think my dad and you should have a cook-off and I'll be the taste test.
But Matthew, I wonder if Matthew is hearing that. Please don't take that challenge because you would lose for sure.
But, you heard it here first.
Anytime the opportunity arise, I'll do just that. Baking as well, I can bake. I make a very good banana bread.
Yeah, banana bread is my favorite. You sold me. I am obsessed with banana bread. Oh,
nah, trust me.
Hang on, what's in your banana
actually
bread?
Thought,
tell me.
I thought, Alec Atenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I taught him to make banana bread.
No way. What's in your banana bread? Give me a secret.
Your father is listening.
I love it. So good. Well, tell me after because I want to know. I want to make it and then I can recreate because I'm obsessed with banana bread.
So how do you like your banana bread? Is it moist or not too moist?
See, I like it a little bit moist. But then again, I also like it a little bit crunchy. Like, I like the, middle moist, but, the outside a little bit of, crunch. You know what I mean? Crispy. So you, bite into it. And butter. Butter is key.
Yeah, well.
All over it.
If I go, I wouldn't give you that secret because when the time comes, then you'll
okay,
taste,
then
you'll
then
taste.
You'll make it for me and then I'll be the taste test. All right. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time. It's been so nice having you on. I'm looking forward to that banana bread.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. It's my pleasure and hopefully one day.
Thank you. Oh, big thank you to Andre Fletcher. What an absolute legend he is and played the game for such a long time with so much aggression. Just so nice to get to know him off the pitch a little bit more and learn about his passions as well. Thank you, Andre. You are a star. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you give it a like, subscribe, because there's so many more amazing guests coming your way. I can't wait to share them all with you. But until next time, stay competitive.